Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Primary election 2025, just a few days away. Most races that will appear on your ballot will be countywide races or more local races such as borough council, township supervisor, or school board. All these races are extremely important. However, there are also two statewide races, Commonwealth Court and Superior Court. In the past few years, we have been reminded how very important these races are also. What a judge decides will impact you and your family. My guest today is one of those judicial candidates. Maria Bautista is one of the GOP candidates for Superior Court. Anyway,
yes,
thanks, Maria, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
I know.
I look forward to sharing my background with you.
Yeah, I'm sure at this point you're exhausted, would be my guess, as you've been traveling the Commonwealth.
You have to have a lot of energy to run a statewide race.
Yes, absolutely. So let's just start with the basic question as to what the Superior Court does. I want to give you a promotion to Supreme Court. What does the Superior Court do?
Well, the Superior Court is one of our two intermediate appellate courts. Everyone is familiar with their Court of Common Pleas in their county, and the criminal cases that are in that Common Pleas Court, as well as most of the civil cases, if they are appealed, they would go to the Superior Court. People are most familiar on the civil side, matters involving families and children, whether that's a divorce, child custody, adoption, protection for abuse, real estate matters, estates and wills, personal injury, and so much more. If any of those criminal cases and the majority of those civil cases, if they're appealed, they would go to the Superior Court. The Superior Court is one of the busiest courts in the nation, and about 97% of the cases stay in the Superior Court. They are those final decisions because they're never appealed to the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania. The decisions of the judges on the Superior Court impact all Pennsylvanians every single day.
Absolutely. So why do you decide to run for Superior Court? I mean, it's obviously a very busy court. So why do you decide to run?
I've been having this in the back of my mind for almost 15, 16 years. When I was also teaching, I was put on a legal symposium called The Courts as Protectors of Children in the aftermath of the Luzerne County court system, the Cash for Kids scandal. Mm-hmm. And those that were in my program said, Maria, you're so passionate about what you're doing within the courts and trying to understand what happened, the breakdown of the trust, the breakdown of the transparency, the impact of over 5,000 cases with children involved in our juvenile justice system. And I was encouraged at that time to consider running. And you know, we're from a very small county. My family, we're from Clarion County. And so at the time, like, can I actually get the support needed statewide in order to run? And as we saw in 2023, that did actually come to fruition, and I almost won. I lost by 1.39%.
Wow.
I came in first place in 52 of 67 counties, and I'm giving it one last shot.
Wow. We definitely need a strong advocate for children and families. There's no doubt about that. Now, your website says that you have more than 15 years of legal experience in civil, criminal, and administrative law, and you are a former assistant district attorney. Describe some of that experience. I actually think you are an assistant district attorney here in Venango County, where I am. So give us some of your experience.
Correct. Sure. So my practice started in 1993. I started in Crawford County next door to you, mm-hmm. with Culbertson, Weiss, Shatroma, and Surik. And then I opened up my own office, and I was doing the types of civil cases that go to the Superior Court, you know, whether that was the real estate, the business law, the estates and wills, family matters, child custody, adoption, and personal injury, as well as some insurance defense work. And then I was also doing some workers' comp and social security disability. It wasn't actually till the early 2000s, after I had my children, that I did become an assistant district attorney in Venango County. I also had the good fortune of working under Governor Corbett and his administration that went into the next administration for a while. And I was an attorney in the Departments of Health and State. And while in the Department of State, I was a hearing examiner for over 3 years, where I issued hundreds of decisions. Those decisions, would impact as well other types of cases in this Commonwealth. And I heard cases from the majority, not all, but the majority of government agencies in this Commonwealth. And many of those cases, quite frankly, had an underlying criminal conviction that had to be addressed, say, for example, a professional licensure case. Say that you're a nurse and say, for example, that you diverted drugs while you were at the job. There was a criminal case. You were convicted. But then your license to practice your profession also comes into play. And then I would hear a case like that. I would hear a case for Department of Education, Board of Probation and Parole, Department of Corrections, Department of Health, Department of Agriculture, so many different agencies. And so the types of skills that I needed to do those types of hearings, you hear the witnesses, you listen to the testimony, you evaluate the credibility of the witnesses, you look at the evidence, if there's expert witnesses, if there's a constitutional issue, you address those issues. And if those cases were appealed, they would go to the sister court because it was administrative law. Mm-hmm. And those would go to the Commonwealth Court. So my breadth of experience is not only in the civil and the criminal, but also the administrative law. And I have the types of skills that are necessary to be a judge on the Superior Court. I also served as a mediator for a number of years while I was in government. And I was one of the mediators that had the highest settlement rate. In fact, I settled all my cases except for one. And it's one of the skills that we don't really talk about when we're running for judge, but it's a very important skill. You know, as a judge, you want to have the right judicial temperament. You want to be fair and impartial for all Pennsylvanians. Justice is to be blind, even though we're running on a political party. You know, once you're elected, you must be fair to everyone, regardless of who you are, where you come from, your zip code, your last name, your socioeconomic background, your ethnic background. It doesn't matter what your background or your family's background is. The case that's before you must be decided fairly and partially and without bias. But the one skill I had in addition that's not talked about as a mediator, because you're trying to facilitate the parties to see if you can get some sort of settlement so it doesn't go to trial, is listening. Mm-hmm. When you're a judge, you have to listen very carefully. That is another communication skill that we don't talk about very much, but it's very, very important, as well as your writing skills and your communication skills.
Absolutely. Seems like there's not a whole lot of listening going on anywhere when it comes to politics. That seems to be definitely a lost art, but it is very important, as you're saying, for a judge to listen to what's being said on both sides and be able to hand down a fair decision. So that is very important. There's no doubt about that. So it sounds like you have a breadth of experience. And I can imagine there were differences, but you worked for Corbett administration and the Wolf administration for a while. I can't imagine the differences between the two administrations as far as working under them. But you survived. So that was good that you survived, obviously. So it sounds like really that your experiences do uniquely prepare you to be a Superior Court judge. That was my next question, but I think that you pretty much addressed that and you're outlining the experiences that you have. But again, I think what you pointed out is listening is extremely important when it comes to being a judge. So, and I think you covered this too. So what is your philosophy when it comes to interpreting the law? I think you addressed that when you said fairness.
They ask you sometimes, well, how do you align yourself with current or prior Supreme Court justices? And I would say that I would be considered an originalist, Justice Scalia, mm-hmm. who, you know, has since passed away. But, you know, we have seen in recent years that some of the judges that are elected to our courts are legislating from the bench.
Yeah,
they are making new law instead of reviewing the law as it has been enacted by our legislature. There are three branches of government for a reason. And so, you know, we do take oaths of office if you are a judge, and you're supposed to uphold the law and the Constitution and not impose your own personal biases. And I would be doing that if I was elected as a judge. I've done that as a hearing examiner. You know, I've always treated people fairly. And I would not impose any of my personal preferences or any of my personal experiences that would impact negatively on the case, because there is a law that's in place that's been, you know, there's been an issue or issues that's been brought on a case before the Superior Court, and you have to address that issue, and you have to look at the law as it's written by our legislature.
Absolutely. Yeah, we see even today, especially on the, well, federal level or district judges who are definitely legislating from the bench and interpreting law as they see fit, which exposes their bias. You know, against President Trump in this case, we see that across the country, and it's very disturbing where we see judges who put the Constitution on the back burner. I guess in some cases they would prefer to burn it on the back burner, but they ignore the Constitution and they just interpret things the way that even laws are not interpreting properly. They are not interpreting them as the either Congress or the General Assembly here in PA. Judges are not interpreting those correctly as the laws were written. So it's very disturbing to see that. So definitely be a breath of fresh air to get a judge on the court, any, you know, Superior Court or Commonwealth Court or even PA Supreme Court, who would be willing to make it a philosophy to not legislate from the bench, because that's totally unconstitutional when judges do that. Here in Pennsylvania, where we're unique because so many states don't allow people to vote for judges. They're appointed and go through the confirmation process. So Pennsylvania is unique in being able to vote for Supreme Court, Superior Court, and Commonwealth Court, Court of Common Pleas, et cetera, et cetera. Too many Pennsylvanians do not take that seriously. They, unfortunately, I'm afraid that they're going to be, even this year, you know, they're going to consider it as an off-year election, and they're not going to get out and vote. So the important thing is for people to understand the importance of these races, both, you know, from school board up to Superior Court. People need to get out and vote and not just assume, well, it doesn't matter. I need to only vote four times, you know, every 4 years when the president will fix everything. And we cannot have that mentality to think that's, you know, that's the case. We have to be very involved in the political process across the board. You're talking about the Constitution. The next logical question is, have you read the U.S. Constitution and the PA Constitutions?
I guess I have.
Okay, I kind of thought
you know, our Constitution is sometimes overlooked, and it can't, because there are many cases, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, there are times when you're not just looking at the law in the case, but you're looking at the state constitution or our national constitution, and it's important. You know, there is a constitution for a reason. It's not a living document, and that we must be ensured with the judge that you elect is going to review the Constitution as intended.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's disturbing to me that when the PA Supreme Court came down and said that no excuse mail-in ballots is constitutional, I mean, that still bugs me, because Article 7, Section 14A of the PA Constitution specifically outlines the reasons that you can get an absentee ballot. But the Pennsylvania Supreme, the Democrats on the, which unfortunately is a majority, ruled that no excuse mail-in ballots is constitutional, which in my book is still not constitutional. I do not push no excuse mail-in ballots at all. When it comes to a judge, do you believe that a judge can step outside his or her official authority or role? I think you addressed that also. Rehash what you believe the role of a judge is. A good listener, having read the Constitution, both PA and U.S. Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. So what is your role? What do you believe the role of a judge is as a whole?
You know, the people elect a judge to a court because they believe they are the best person that are going to be independent. In other words, they're not subject to influence by others or outside parties, that they're not going to put any bias or predisposition on a case, and that they're going to be fair and impartial and keep politics out of the courtroom. I have done that my entire career. I've done that as a hearing examiner. And if the people believe that I am the best candidate for this position, and I am elected next week in the primary to go into the November election, I would be committed to doing that. We have seen that, again, as I said before, sometimes we have judicial activism on our courts and we shake our heads saying, how could this possibly happen? And that's why it's important. These races are important. While this is a municipal year and the turnout isn't as much as you would see in a presidential by any means, you know, we certainly would appreciate people getting out to vote, learning more about the candidates and their backgrounds. You know, I come from a very rural area. I come from Clarion County. And yet I had the best outcomes for the Republican Party in 2023. I only lost by 1.39%.
Yeah.
My other teammates for the Supreme, as well as the other candidate for Superior and one for the Commonwealth, they lost by 7.4%, 4.9%, and 3.2%. People from rural counties can get elected to the appellate courts. It doesn't happen very often, but I am one of those candidates that has already had a great showing. I'm battle tested. The people that I have reached and met, they believe in my candidacy. I am down to earth. I'm sincere. And that's what you want. You want someone that has all the right skills, but that they're compassionate, they have common sense, and they're going to do the right thing and be an independent thinker in every single case. And I would be honored to have the vote of your listeners and those around this great Commonwealth on May 20th.
Absolutely. I'll be perfectly truthful. I'm not sure that the PAGOP wants an independent thinker. Unfortunately, I mean, they've shown that in too many races. They've shown they do not want an independent thinker. But we definitely need independent thinkers and not ones who will want to be led around and not being able to make their own decisions. So it's very important to get an independent thinker. And you mentioned before looking at not just the law, but the Constitution. Can you explain legal precedent? My understanding is that law schools now teach legal precedent and not so much the Constitution. Can you explain the difference between looking at the Constitution and legal precedent and what should take priority?
Well, every case is different, and you may have a precedent in a particular case, or it could be a case of first impression, and there may or may not be a constitutional issue. You know, on the Superior Court, you know, there's 15 judges. They are in panels of three for the majority of the cases when they're issuing decisions. And precedent for your listeners means that there is a series of cases before the case that you're reviewing that decided, you know, this is how the law should be interpreted. But there's a lot of conflict in different cases mm-hmm. as well. And so it's very important that the judge or judges that are reviewing a case, and in particular in Superior Court, you know, these cases impact people every single day. Not that the government cases don't. They do as well. But these are the ones that people are most familiar with, the criminal cases, the child custody, the best interest cases, the best interest of the child cases,
right,
and so much more. And so if there is precedent, you know, whether there's precedent or not, and it's a case of first impression, if there is a constitutional issue that is raised, whatever that may be, you still must address the constitutional issue. And the precedent, as it may be, sometimes does change because of a constitutional issue that has to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't change your review just because there's precedent or it's a case of first impression if there's a constitutional issue raised. And I can't give you a specific example because every case is so different.
Right.
But it is imperative that any person that is elected to be a judge, you know, that if there is a constitutional issue raised, you must address it appropriately.
Absolutely. And I'm not sure that they always do that. So again, you're outlining how important it is to get the right person in the position of judge. How important is the May 20th election coming up? We have Commonwealth and Superior Court races, voting for judges. And of course, Pennsylvania has a closed primary. And so you can only vote for a candidate in your party. And, of course, November we'll have the retention votes for, I think, three Supreme Court judges and one Commonwealth Court judge and one Superior Court judge, I believe. That's all in November, the retention votes, see if we want to give them another 10 years. So, but just how important is this primary election? Not only is it an off-year election, but so few people don't view a primary election as being important. How important is a primary election?
Primary elections are in some ways more important because you're picking the candidate that you want to go into the general election. In both the Superior and Commonwealth Court races, there are two Republicans running. And so for your listeners, you know, they have a choice of who they would like to vote for in this primary election. If I am successful in winning on May 20th, then I would go into the general election and my opponent in the general election would be a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
But right now we are focusing on the primary election and my opponent is another Republican. and she is from Chester County. Mm. So I am from the western side of the state, from Clarion County, and she is from Chester County, which is outside of Philadelphia. So it is important that you get to learn who the candidates are. But similarly, for the Commonwealth Court, there are two candidates. One is from Berks County and one is from Erie County. Mm-hmm. And each one has different backgrounds. And so it's important that your listeners and those around this Commonwealth, you know, look at the individual, look at not only their background. And I can say that just one additional thing that I have that is very helpful to aid the Superior Court as well as assist other judges is that I have 5 degrees.
Oh, wow.
I only drive my law degree. I have 2 bachelors, one in speech communication, and then my other 3 degrees are in education. I have an elementary ed degree, I have a master's in education, and I have a doctorate in education. No other candidate has that background. Is it required? No, it is not required to be a judge on any court.
Right.
But is it helpful, especially when the largest body of law that goes to the Superior Court is criminal cases, and the second largest body of law are those involved in family and children? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with children or the juvenile justice system, you know, I've taught in the K-12 setting. You know, I've taught in higher education. I understand different types of issues dealing with children with disabilities. You know, we now have a roundtable for the courts, including the appellate courts, called Autism in the Courts, because judges don't know how to address children or how they interact or understand information in the courts. That would be an added value that I can bring to the court system that the other candidates don't have that specific background.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, I taught juvenile justice. I taught criminal procedure. I taught introduction to administration of justice. I have shown throughout my career that I am concerned about the courts, or I wouldn't have on my own dime done the legal symposiums that I did. I've been a continuing legal education lecturer where you train other attorneys. I've taught mediation. I've taught regulatory and administrative law. I've taught issues in healthcare law and oral arguments before the appellate court. I have a very diverse background, not only as a practitioner, but also doing my civic duty as a lawyer and giving back, not only to the high schools and mock trial competitions and also at the higher ed level, and teaching in this, you know, both in the K-12 and higher education. These are added benefits, not required, but certainly added benefits for any candidate in these courts, given the number of cases that go through these court systems relating to these people and the children in our Commonwealth.
Absolutely. I mean, real life experiences should definitely count towards the qualifications of a candidate. And it definitely sounds like you have many, many real life experiences that I'd say the majority, if not all the other candidates across Commonwealth and Superior Court races have. I mean, you have just itemized a whole lot of things that, as you're saying, the other candidate for Superior Court does not have, either a GOP or the Democrat who the winner of the primary election will be running against. So it's unfortunate that the Pennsylvania GOP is ignoring all your experiences. I don't like that at all. To me, life experiences count a whole lot. How can folks help you out? How can folks contact you?
So there are many ways they can reach us. The easiest is our website, which is Battista for Judge, and that's B as in boy, A-T-T-I-S-T-A-F-O-R, judge.com. You can email us at battistaforjudge@gmail.com. We also have an answering machine that we do answer. That is 814-797-0278, 814-797-0278. We're still looking for volunteers to volunteer at the polls. We believe that, you know, since many people don't know who the judicial candidates are, by having volunteers at the polls and passing out literature, that is very helpful. They can either email us, where there's a volunteer form where you can check off that you would like to volunteer at the polls. And that would give us your name, your email, and your phone number, and we can reach out to you before Tuesday so you can be on Team Battista.
Okay, I appreciate that. So that's battistaforjudge.com, correct? .com?
Correct.
Okay, Battista.
Yeah, and Battista is spelled B as in boy, A. T-T-I-S-T-A, and it's the word for, it's not the number for, the word for, F-O-R, judge.
Okay, Com. Okay, fantastic. So we'll definitely get the word out about your candidacy. We'll pray for a good result on Tuesday.
Well, thank you so much, Diane. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and for your listeners. And we could use a few prayers as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've been very fortunate. When they see my name on the ballot, I am number one on the ballot for judge of the Superior Court. And on the ballot, I'm actually, our court is like the first
on the ballot
that you see on the actual ballot.
Okay.
So Maria Batista, Clarion County, Judge of the Superior Court. That's what I'm running for, and I'm number one on the ballot.
Okay, sounds good. You be safe out there, because I know you have a lot of miles to put on your vehicle between now and Election Day.
I do. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you so much.
You take care then.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well,
bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.